This is our reading for Tuesday, May 27th. We had finished up yesterday in the book of Acts in chapter 28, and I told you that I would make some comments to you as we closed out the book of Acts before we move on. Just to kind of review a moment before we make those comments, the beginning of chapter 28, they have been shipwrecked on the island of Malta. You have the snake that bites him, and they're expecting him to show some signs of that bite or die, but he does not. That's the first miracle there. The second miracle is healing of the chief man of the island's father, and he was sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul put his hands on him, prayed, and he was healed. And then many others were healed. So it's quite a bit that went on there, though Luke doesn't go into great detail about all the events. But then Paul arrives at Rome. And when he arrives at Rome, he is allowed to be under house arrest. He is allowed to have a guard that's with him, but he rents a house. And he's able to stay there. And so people are able to come and go freely to converse with him. He is able to continue teaching. And there are many that have heard the gospel, and some even believed during that time. I wanted to recap a little bit of the timeline as we went through all of this. Now, when we get into timelines, it's not possible to be 100% exact about things. We try to line up different clues we have within the text with secular writings and then be able to assign a year to them. But when we get into the life of Paul as we have presented to us in the book of Acts, it's about AD 46 that we find in Acts chapter 11 where Barnabas goes to Tarsus in order to seek out Saul. Then in the following year, he goes to Antioch with Barnabas. This is the prophecy of Agabus. And then aid is sent to Jerusalem through Barnabas and Saul. Then they begin their travels in the next year, and by the time we get to AD 49, this is the year that would have been Acts chapter 15, going up to the Jerusalem Council in order to discuss with them the teachers that had gone down to Antioch, and then after this was a contention over John Mark. But this is also when some people place the writing of the letter of Galatians. However, I tend to go with a slightly later year that is being attributed to the writing of Galatians. Instead of it being 49, I think it's probably closer to around 51, because it's at that point that Paul is seeing more persecution and more Judaizing teachers come around. And as you know, with the beginning of Galatians in chapter 1, he's dealing with the fact that there were other people that would bring a different message and call that the gospel. And he calls it a different gospel because it was a different message. And he said, even if we or an angel from heaven bring to you a different gospel than we've already preached, then let him be accursed. So he's putting down that that spreading of false doctrine. Then shortly after that, he writes the first and second letter to Thessalonians, and then after that returns to Antioch. So if you go with that later date for Galatians, and if scholars are right about lining up his travels with that, then he would have written Galatians and Thessalonians while he is at Corinth. And so he continues on for several years. While he's in Ephesus, this would have been when he wrote the first letter to the Corinthians, and this would have been about the time that Nero becomes emperor. Then he goes on to Macedonia in Acts chapter 20. That'd be about the time of the writing of 2 Corinthians, and then travels to Greece and writes the book of Romans. Then you skip a few more years, get down to AD 59, and that would have been chapter 25, where Paul is before Festus. So 57 would have been the big mob, and Paul addressing it in chapter 21, then chapter 22, And then he's before the Sanhedrin. The prophecy that tells Paul that he was going to bear witness of him in Rome in chapter 23. And then the plot against his life. Then he's sent to Felix, and then Felix leaves him over to Festus. So that brought us up to AD 59. And so then you have all the events that we've just been reading about at Malta, and then sailing on, and then arriving at Rome. Arriving at Rome would have been approximately AD 60, and he spends 2 years there. At this time, he would have met Onesimus and written the letter of Philemon. This is also when he's attributed to have written Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and probably 1 Timothy and Titus, somewhere around the time he's released, or maybe shortly after he's released. It's unclear. But just to put this in terms that we kind of mark everything by, if he's released about AD 62 and then spends 2 to 3 years free, which, you know, this is after the book of Acts has ended, and there is some disagreement about exactly what Paul does during this time. However, it is during this time that you had the great fire in Rome and major persecution of Christianity begins. And then the Jewish revolt begins, you know, somewhere around AD 66. Well, that would have also been approximately the time that scholars say that Paul is imprisoned for a second time, and then they say that he was martyred during that second imprisonment, which would have been about the time that was written the second letter of Timothy. And of course, you look at the second letter of Timothy, and Paul is talking about how he's fought the good fight, he's run the race, he's ready to move on. And he does a lot of things in writing that letter to try to solidify Timothy for the future, because he's no longer going to be mentoring Timothy, he's going to be handing off to Timothy. Not as an apostle, but as a preacher. And Timothy is going to have to be a leader in the church without the guidance of Paul after that time. So if the beginning of the Jewish revolt is about the time of his second imprisonment, and then his martyrdom sometime during that year, then AD 67 is when Josephus surrenders to the Romans, and then becomes sort of a historian for the Romans. AD 68 is when Nero commits suicide. 69, there's that civil war that goes on for a little while, and then Vespasian prevails. And then you have in AD 70, the destruction of the temple. So if this particular timeline that I'm going through with you is correct, which, as I said, there are some differences between scholars on the timelines, then Paul would have died at 3 or 4 years before the destruction of the temple. Again, once Luke concludes the book of Acts, that's the end of our inspired historical account of these different events. So we don't know exactly what happened after the book of Acts is over. We just have some writings and some histories and different things that are recorded that point towards certain things. So, again, there is some disagreement, but this is a kind of a ballpark idea for you of everything that is going on there. Now, with that in mind, what I have decided to do for our reading from here on is to go through Paul's letters and do them in what we suppose to be the chronological order. And based on what we just went through, our first book for chronological order would be the book of Galatians. So we're going to start with Galatians chapter 1. And since I've been talking for a pretty good while now, we're not going to do a lengthy reading. But let's go ahead and start with Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who were with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory and forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So that'll get us started for the book of Galatians. Now, I think that Paul, as he often has to do in his letters, is defending his apostleship, and he's pointing out that his apostleship is not some office that was appointed to him by any man. It's not even something that the other apostles decided that Paul should be one. No, he is appointed as an apostle by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He is pointing out that his apostleship comes directly from Jesus. It doesn't come anywhere else, and that lends authority to the things that he is saying. And he points out that these writings also are from the brothers who are with them and going to the churches of Galatia. Now, I recently read somebody that tried to make the point that they didn't think that this letter was written to the churches of Galatia, but to a different group where the word Galatia and this other group of people was very similar. I have a little bit of difficulty with that. I didn't buy into that. But you might see that if you're looking through like maybe a study Bible or something like that as you're going through these readings. But I think churches of Galatia is accurate. We do know that there were churches that were there, so that fits pretty well with what we're writing and what we truly understand to be the history behind this letter. So he gives them a good greeting, grace to you, peace from God our Father. Points out that it is through the Lord Jesus that he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, and that he deserves all glory and honor. But then he jumps right into verse 6 and says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you. So you might question, well, how long has it been? Has it really been a really short time since he preached the gospel to them and they were converted? I don't know. But let me ask you this question. How long is a short time in terms of our obedience to the gospel? If somebody obeyed the gospel today and some point in the future they fell prey to false doctrine, what time period would it have to be for you to say, I'm surprised that you're so quickly falling prey to this? Could be months, could be years, could be a decade even. I mean, I don't think we need to place any special significance on the amount of time. I think what he's really saying is, I'm astonished that you're deserting him. I'm surprised that you're falling prey to this. And he makes this very strong point that there is no other gospel. And there is unity in the gospel. If they're all sent by Jesus and they're all preachers of the gospel, then the message should be the same. Now, are there matters of opinion concerning some areas of liberty? Sure. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to how to be saved, when it comes to how to live a life righteous in the sight of God, when it comes to being trained in godliness and being built up in Christ, then all of those things are the same and there shouldn't be anything different. So if we attribute this to the Judaizing teachers that are preaching going back to certain tenets of the Jewish law, then what he's saying is, I've already told you that you are free in Christ from these things, so why would you go back to it? Why would you fall prey to this? But for us, we can apply this in any way that we need to. It doesn't matter whether it's let's keep some items from the old law or whether it's so-called modern innovations for the worship service or modern innovations for the work of the church, going outside the authority and the assignments of the church in realms of what the work of the church should actually be. You know, any of those things can be classified as that different gospel, something different than what we find plainly delivered to us within the New Testament. So he says, it doesn't matter the source. Even if one of the apostles brought it to you, even if Paul himself brought it to you, it would mean that something has happened and they've gone astray and they would be accursed for preaching something different. Even if someone presented themselves as an angel from heaven. And of course we know that there are many on Satan's side that would present themselves as angels of light, as righteous, but they're not. So, and he even repeats this in verse 9 to drive that point home. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Then verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? I mean, if I'm seeking the approval of man, I'm going to tickle their ears, I'm going to do what they want, and then they're going to like me, and then I won't have any controversy. Now, we know that wasn't Paul, don't we? Paul had plenty of controversy following him around. We just got through studying all of that, going through our reading in the book of Acts. So, am I seeking the approval of man? Obviously not. Am I seeking the approval of God? Well, I'm preaching that same gospel, and I'm trying to solidify you in the faith, and I'm preaching these things that are unified with what the other apostles are preaching. These miracles are happening, pointing to the message coming from God. So what do we say? Well, yes, he's seeking the approval of God. And because of that, yes, it does cause some controversy. And so he says, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. If we become people pleasers, if we become ear ticklers, then we stop being a servant of God and we start being a servant of self. All right, that'll get us started. I've talked long enough for today. Please consider these things. We will continue in the book of Galatians chapter 1 starting in verse 11 for tomorrow's reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.